Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
And a very good morning to you. It's Monday, July the 27th. Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, US President Barack Obama is now in Ethiopia after an historic two-day visit to the country where his father was born.
Habari zenu. Wa Kenya, mpio. It is great to be back in Kenya.
Al-Shabaab insurgents claim responsibility for a car bomb that kills at least 13 people in Mogadishu and the risks facing Uganda as its currency, the shilling, depreciates on foreign exchange markets.
The Bank of Uganda recognizes that there are heightened risks to inflation, economic growth and financial conditions.
Stay with us for the next 25 minutes.
Top story.
US President Barack Obama is in Ethiopia, where he is set to address the African Union, becoming the first US president to do so. Top of the agenda is expected to be the threat posed by Al-Shabaab militants, who struck again in Mogadishu on Sunday, and the civil war in South Sudan. Obama arrived in Ethiopia after visiting Kenya, the birthplace of his father. From Nairobi, James Shimanyula reports.
Habari zenu. Wa Kenya, mpio. It is great to be back in Kenya.
In his opening statement at the 6th Global Entrepreneurship Summit held for the first time in sub-Saharan Africa, U.S. President Barack Obama declared that Kenya is at a crossroads between promise and peril.
So, and everybody, go ahead and have a seat. I'm going to be talking for a while. Relax.
He said Kenya can develop if it roots out corruption, treat women and minorities as equal citizens, and take responsibility for its future. Obama also briefly reflected on the challenges facing startup businesses in Africa.
The challenge is, as so many of you know, it's very often hard to take those first steps. It's hard to access capital. It's hard sometimes to get the training and the skills to run a business as professionally as it needs to be in this competitive world. It's hard to tap into the networks and mentors that can mean the difference between a venture taking off and one that falls flat.
Obama's visit to Kenya captivated a country that views him as a local son. There were thick crowds that lined the roadways to watch the presidential motorcade speed through the city. Many climbed on rooftops to get a better view. The audience inside the arena chanted his name several times. His departure on Sunday to Ethiopia left many with these responses.
In Obama, we see a leadership that is progressive. We are proud to welcome him into Kenya. Also want to invite the world to borrow from him a leadership of humility, not arrogance. A leadership of foresight, not chest thumping.
When he go back to America, we want him to be a very happy person, a happy person that he has come from home and he has shown the world this is his home.
It's also good for him as a leader to come and inspire young leaders in Kenya. And it's also a milestone for us young people to see the first sitting U.S. president coming to Kenya. It's a milestone to us. And it has inspired us. It will inspire the young leaders. And it's also inspire the very people from Kogelo.
In the closing statement of his historic visit, President Obama traced the arc of Kenya's evolution from colonialism to independence, as well as his own family history. He left Kenya pausing longer than normal on the stairs to Air Force One to wave to the crowd with a huge grin on his face.
James Shimanyula reporting. Both Kenya and Ethiopia, which is the second leg of Obama's African tour, are engaged in fighting Somalia's al-Shabaab militants. The two nations have troops in Somalia as part of an AU and US-backed force. But aside from security and political concerns, some Ethiopians see Obama's visit in emotional or almost personal terms. This report by Philip Santner is presented now by Abubakar Jalou.
Barack Obama, according to a resident of Addis Ababa, should be proud to come to Ethiopia.
It should be a pride for Barack Obama to come to Ethiopia, the most ancient country in the world, the origin of Lucy, the Homo sapien, Homo erectus, ancestor of mankind.
Many Ethiopians hope that Obama's visit will lead to an improvement in bilateral relations with the U.S. The narrative of an emerging economic power is the main reason why Ethiopia is on the U.S. president's itinerary, according to Ethiopian analyst Hallelujah Luli.
The increasing visibility and the increasing role of Ethiopia on regional and continental security issues. Ethiopia is very active in sending peacekeeping troops in different mediation efforts on the Horn of Africa, including Somalia.
Counterterrorism is an important plank in the U.S. foreign policy. In 2014, the U.S. opened a drone base in Abba Minch in southern Ethiopia, from where it has already launched unmanned airstrikes on the militant Somali al-Shabaab militia. For Washington, there appears to be no alternative to forging a partnership with Ethiopia. The sum of $419 million was transferred from Washington to Addis Ababa in 2014. Observers expect the two countries to strengthen their ties further. But according to this Ethiopian who asked to remain anonymous, the country has a bleak side.
I hope that President Obama is well aware of the human rights conditions in our country and will raise this question when he discusses with the Ethiopian government politicians.
Human rights campaigner Leslie Lefko, who is Deputy Director for Africa at Human Rights Watch, criticized the timing of Obama's visit.
The security situation within Ethiopia and the political stability within Ethiopia are closely intertwined with the human rights situation. You cannot have a government like the Ethiopian government restricting freedom of speech, freedom of peaceful assembly in the ways that it's doing, and expect that this is the best recipe for a peaceful and prosperous and stable Ethiopia. It's really a short-sighted approach.
Observers are putting their hopes on a planned meeting between Obama and civil society groups, but this seems unlikely since much of the Ethiopian opposition is abroad seeking to promote change from the outside.
And that report was written by Philip Santner.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
At least 13 people have been killed in a huge bomb explosion at a hotel in the Somali capital Mogadishu. Al-Shabaab have claimed responsibility for the attack. The blast came as President Barack Obama was leaving Kenya for Ethiopia. Earlier, he had explained how the US and its allies were combating the militant group.
We have systematically reduced the territory that Al-Shabaab controls. We have been able to decrease their effective control within Somalia. We have weakened those networks operating here in East Africa. What we discussed was the importance of continuing the effort to root out al-Shabaab's capacity inside Somalia. As we speak, Kenya is working with Ethiopia and with the United States and others to further degrade al-Shabaab's space of operations inside Somalia.
The al-Shabaab attack on the hotel was described by a US government spokesman as abhorrent. For more details about the blast, my colleague Abubakar Jalou called Mogadishu-based journalist Mohamed Adoa.
Really, it was a huge explosion which rocked the whole city. There was really a black, thick smoke rising from the area. The target was a hotel called Real Jazeera Hotel. It was targeted several times past by the al-Shabaab, and it's not the first time that hotel being targeted. So it was really something that I have never seen or heard since I have been reporting on Somalia.
What can you tell us about the death toll?
I have contacted with government officials and they are telling me that really the death toll is now really over 20 people, including civilians. Nearby houses have been destroyed by the blasting. And really, I have even went to the area and I saw really massive destruction really around the area, the whole area. Parts of the hotel have been destroyed or damaged badly by the blasting, and people really were terrifying.
Now Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for this attack, and it also claimed responsibility of another attack, also on Sunday, involving the death of a parliamentarian. Can you tell us a bit about that?
The group have been really facing really a huge military pressure over the last couple of days by the African Union troops and the Somali forces in southern Somalia and central. And this really renewed attack is this one, including this one. People say it's a retaliatory attack is to stop really the ongoing real operations, military operations in southern Somalia. And you can understand that this real attack is taking many lives every day. And the government is saying really that it's going to deal with this really increasing attacks in the capital.
That was Mohamed Adowa in Mogadishu. And now to Uganda. Its currency, the Ugandan shilling, continues to depreciate on foreign exchange markets. Over the past 4 months, its decline in value has pushed up the prices Ugandans pay for fuel and other commodities. Alex Jitto reports.
These days, you'll find cars stuck in traffic with their engines turned off in a desperate bid to save fuel. 1 litre of petrol is sold at 3,900 Uganda shillings. That is exactly 1 euro. 4 months ago, a litre was sold at 3,200 Uganda shillings. This rise has seen an increase in prices of several goods and services, more especially in transportation. Abed Bwanika is a businessman and a politician in Kampala. Like many businessmen, he blames foreign investors for the depreciation of the shilling. The Uganda currency is rapidly losing its value because many argue that foreign currencies are being withdrawn from the local market, making transaction with the international market difficult. Bwanika wants an overhaul of the policies that regulate foreign investment.
We need the law so that the people don't simply evacuate with money that is going to hurt and has been hurting our economy.
But Governor of Bank of Uganda, Emmanuel Mutebile, said foreign investors are not solely to blame.
The Bank of Uganda recognizes that there are heightened risks to inflation, economic growth, and financial conditions. The Bank of Uganda will continue to assess these risks with outlook and will not hesitate to take appropriate action.
Transport fares have been increased after the dollar rose from 2,600 to 3,650 shillings. Electricity and water tariffs have also gone up significantly. Coupled with poor road networks, the cost of doing business in Uganda has skyrocketed. In the last 1 week alone, a major supermarket franchise and British Airways have suspended their operations in Uganda. Head of the Kampala City Traders Association, Issa Sechito, says that internally Ugandan politicians are holding a lot of money back.
The money is held by politicians who have it in abundance but keeping it in different secret places. That also the money is with the foreigners who are repatriating it. Our request and appeal to the government is let them sit with the foreigners to keep money around such that the economy recovers.
The banking sector has also been hit hard as the number of people borrowing from them has reduced because of high interest rates. But Central Bank Governor Mutebile said the bank will release more money into the market if their current strategy of luring foreign investors fails.
Alex Jitter reporting. And now it's time to find out what's been happening to the Crossroads generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome back to Crossroads Generation, our ongoing radio novella about the challenges facing a group of African teenagers.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future starts today.
we're on the 15th episode entitled It Is Possible. In the last episode, Paolo's landlord came by and demanded that he either pay the rent or leave. After this, Paolo asked his daughters Summer and Noni to go out with him.
Summer, I'm sorry to have to ask you this, but I think you and your sister Noni can help.
How?
You're always wanting to take your sister out, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay then, put on your jacket and fetch your sister. We are going out.
This is pretty astonishing, because Paolo never wanted his disabled daughter Noni to leave the house. He also refused Anita's help when she suggested he send his daughters to a special school. So where is Paolo taking the two sisters? On the other side of town, Mercy and Nikki are keen to have a baby, even though Nikki's HIV positive. Their counselor Margaret had some good news for the two of them.
What if I told you that under certain conditions, it is possible to have a child with an infected person and remain uninfected?
It is?
Really? Someone told me that, but I didn't believe them.
Well, Margaret says it is possible. Let's join Mercy as she talks to a specialist about it.
So, you're Mercy Maso Msoto Jumbe. Oh, yes. Sorry, Mercy Msoto Jumbe. Well now, Counselor Margaret mentioned that she wanted to see me to find out whether you and your husband would be able to have a baby safely.
Yes, Dr. Florence.
Right. What she didn't tell me is which of you is HIV positive.
My husband.
But you're not.
No, doctor. Well, Nikki and I have always used protection when we have sex to make sure I don't get infected. But now we feel we'd like to have a baby.
Ah, and you wanted to know whether it's possible to have a child with him safely?
Yes, doctor.
That's a very natural wish for a young married couple. You've done exactly the right thing coming to discuss this before trying to conceive Mercy. But tell me, where is he? Your husband, I mean.
I didn't want him to come with me in case I got his hopes up for nothing.
I see. Well, I may be able to help you if you're quite sure you know what you're getting yourselves into. But you need to come and see me together.
So, are you saying it's possible?
Yes. The risk of passing on the virus is still there. But with the right treatment, we can minimize it almost to 0%. That's why I said you must find time to come with your husband. I'll explain everything to both of you then. It's quite a complex process.
Thank you so much, Dr. Florence.
No. Thank me when it's done.
Some change for food. Please help us. My sister and I are orphans. We're hungry. Please help us.
Change. Bad.
Change
bad.
For food. Please help, madam. Hungry. Please
go
help.
Away, you lazy parasites. Why don't you work like everybody else?
We're orphans.
Ah, we all have crosses to bear.
Some change for food. Please help us. My
Noni?
Sister...
Summer? What are you doing here on the street?
Anita! Oh, thank God. Please help us. My dad has gone crazy. He's forcing us to beg for money from strangers.
What? Why would he do that?
He says we only have to help him for a short time until he gets a job.
But this is wrong. How long have you been doing this?
Yesterday and today.
This is completely unacceptable. I can't allow this to happen.
Oh my God, here he comes. Please go. Go before he sees you.
No, I have to talk to him. I can't let this go on.
No, please go. Or I'll be in trouble.
Okay, I'm going. But I'll be back with the police.
Thank you very much, madam. Thank you. Help. My sister needs to go to hospital. Help.
Summer, what did I tell you about talking to that woman, Anita?
I didn't talk to her. She just gave me some money.
Don't lie to me, girl. Do you think I don't remember that troublemaker?
I'm sorry, Dad.
Stop being sorry and get back to work.
Yes, Dad.
Home at last. I can't wait to see Nikki's face when I tell him the news. Why is it so dark? Nikki's always home by now.
Surprise!
Nikki! You scared me!
Sorry, Mercy. I didn't mean to.
What's all this? You made dinner?
Yes. I wanted to thank you.
For what?
For being such a special girl. and the best wife and friend a man could ever ask for.
Oh, Nikki, it's a nice surprise, but you really didn't have to.
Oh, yes, I had to. Here, sit down.
Come on, Nikki. You don't need to trouble yourself.
Shh. Sit and eat. Here we go. Soup is served. Your very own professional chef is in charge this evening. And the chef says you're just to sit back and enjoy your food.
Nikki, you're so sweet. The soup's delicious.
Told you, professional chef.
Stop bragging. I have a surprise for you too.
Really? What?
I don't want to raise your hopes too much, but I saw the doctor today.
The doctor? What for?
I wanted to find out whether it really is possible for people like us to have a child without passing on the virus.
Oh. And?
She said, yes, it's possible!
What? Oh my God! Really?
Mm-hmm. But don't get too excited. She also said it's a long and difficult process. And I still haven't decided yet.
Why didn't you tell me?
I didn't want to raise your hopes only to be told it wasn't possible after all. We have an appointment with her tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mercy. I really love you. Very much.
I love you too.
A single place in this house that doesn't leak when it rains, and the landlord refuses to even talk about repairing it. All he cares about is raking in the rent. Who the hell is it now? All right, I'm coming. Anita, what are you doing here? I told you to stay away from my family.
Hello, Paolo. I'm sorry if we're disturbing you, but we have to talk to you about Noni and Summer.
We? Who's we?
Me? I've come with her.
And who are you?
My name is Morgan. I work with the Child Welfare Department. We need to talk to you about your daughters, Noni and Summer.
Why would you want to talk to me about my daughters?
Paolo, my department has reliable information that you keep your disabled daughter chained to her bed and that you've been forcing her and her sister to beg on the streets. This contravenes the Children and Disabled People's Act.
And who was it who gave you that reliable information? This snooping woman right here, I suppose? Let me give you a word of advice, Mrs. Morgan, or whatever your name is. This is my house, and Noni and Summer are my children. What happens in my house is none of your business. Now, if you don't mind, I was in the middle of repairing my roof.
Paolo, please, just hear her out. All I want is to help Noni and Summer get an education.
They are my burden. My burden, you hear?
Paolo, we are here to try and resolve this amicably. We need to find out if there's some way we can help you. But if you refuse to accept our help, we'll be forced to take action against you.
Oh, really? You and whose army?
I was afraid you'd be difficult. That's why I brought the police along. Officer?
Yes, madam? At your service, madam.
Please arrest this man and find his daughters. We'll take them with us.
Paolo, you are under arrest for using your children to solicit for money. And for obstructing justice. Put your hands together, please. I'm going to have to handcuff you.
What are you doing? You can't arrest me.
Oh, yes, I can and I will. Put your hands together.
And that's it for today. But not to worry, there's plenty more in store next time. What will happen to Summer and Noni now that their father has been arrested? Do join us again next time to find out. And remember, you can also contact us on Facebook. Until then, bye-bye.
our main stories here on Africa Link. US President Barack Obama is in Ethiopia, where he is set to address the African Union. And at least 13 people have been killed in a huge bomb explosion at a hotel in the Somali capital, Mogadishu. We welcome your comments on the stories we've been covering. You can send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49 160 957 59510. Do join us again tomorrow. Thank you for listening. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.